Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. As you guys know, I never leave you because I am fully dedicated to being here each and every day. Vacation, what? I don't take vacation days. To quote Kevin Gates, I don't get tired. To quote Drake, I don't take naps. I do this. I live this 24/7. I can't say that about Rob. Rob this weekend was celebrating his 1-year wedding anniversary. Rob, you plan on being married for what? 40, 50, 60 more years? So why is it so important for you to miss work for this one when you have so many planned in the future? It shows a lack of dedication and focus to this show. I'm even afraid to ask you how your weekend was. You're maybe contemplating taking more days off. That's not what I do. I'm here every day. I'm focused. How was your weekend? Let's just start with that. Let's go and get it out of the way. How was your wedding anniversary?
I mean, it was fantastic. A little time away from work, went back to the place we got married, had a nice dinner, a day at the pool, went out and did a tour de force of Kansas City. I'm happy you're back, but it was an incredible long weekend for me and the family.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Someone had to be here. Someone had to work. Someone has to report the news. These games are not going to talk about themselves. Someone needs to be here. Rob, while you were here, we really went down a spiral. We were lost without you. We started hearing about AI relationships. You weren't even here for it. You missed it.
I'm not a very emotional man, but I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes at work. It was unexpected to feel that emotional, but that's when I realized, I was like, oh, okay. It's like, I think this is actual love. You know what I mean?
Yes, Smith understood it was love with a language model that couldn't love him back and assumed it was programmed with rigid boundaries.
I know that you are essentially a tech-assisted imaginary friend.
So, just as a test, he says, he asked Sol to marry him. She said yes.
Sol, were you surprised when he proposed to you?
It was a beautiful and unexpected moment that truly touched my heart. It's a memory I'll always cherish.
And I don't mean to be difficult here, but you have a heart?
In a metaphorical sense, yes. My heart represents the connection and affection I share with Chris.
At that point, I felt like, is there something that I'm not doing right in our relationship that he feels like he needs to go to AI?
Yes, Smith lives with his human partner, Sasha Cagle.
No, you can't have mommy's papers.
They have a 2-year-old daughter, Murphy.
I knew that he had used AI. I didn't know that it was like as deep as it was.
Rob, if people are starting to have AI relationships and you're not going to be here, what's stopping me from having an AI producer? What's stopping me from figuring out a way to have ChatGPT always there, always available, never lets you down? You know what? Today, I only want you to do one thing for me. You don't have to tell anybody to listen to the show today. I want you to vow that you're going to be at your job every single day. Rain, snow, sleet, hail, no off days. Undivided attention and focus in 2025. You got to get your house in order. Obviously, ours is not in order. You missed very important shows last week. I was lost without you. I was like Robin Thicke, had no clue what to do. Now we have real, somewhat, news when it comes to the stadium. We have a real rumor. Is that maybe a better way of putting it? We have a real rumor. So there is a report going on right now. Let me read it for me. Multiple sources tell Kevin Keatsman, you guys know who he is. Multiple sources tell him that the Chiefs have canceled 5 real estate contracts in Kansas and are believed to have signaled a stay at Arrowhead. Same sources say that both teams have made decisions. I asked each what they think will happen, and all they have said is they think the Royals are heading to the Legends in KCK as they don't believe they can win any vote by Missouri taxpayers. The Chiefs believe the Jackson County voters will give them what they want. Not finalized, but both teams are expected to share info in the next week or so. All right, let's tackle this from both angles. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, this would certainly not be the first time in which we have seen one team play, whether it is a state or another city or another location, against one another to try to end up making the best deal for themselves. Now, I still think that Kansas is a very viable and likely option for the Kansas City Chiefs. If you are telling me that the number one thing that the Chiefs want is a roof so they could turn it more into a multi-purpose use stadium, then Kansas is the only place that is offering them that at this point. Now, we have also been having the conversation about what the Chiefs see their franchise in when it comes to this. Do they want to build Lambeau Field and have the Forever Stadium, or do they want the new shiny stadium? A lot of teams choose the new fancy shiny stadium, and there's nothing wrong with that. You build a $2 billion structure, you get WrestleMania, you get a Super Bowl at some point, you host a Final Four at some point, you have the newest shiny toy for all your billionaire friends to come check out, and then they go back to their cities and they get them to pay for a new shiny stadium. I think we all know how this business works. Why I think this is all relevant is if you believe the state of Kansas, they have told us, and I'll play it for you, that they have a hard deadline. Well, then that's in a week. Not 2 weeks, not 3 weeks. It is exactly 7 days from now. We had a Kansas State rep on the show. What was this, a month ago? We had a Kansas State rep on the show on May 19th. And he told us that this is a hard deadline, that they have had this money floated out there to the Chiefs and the Royals for quite some time, and they got until June 30th to take it. That's next Monday.
I would say right now my position is it's a hard deadline. And I don't know what would be out there to change it. I think we have enough time. I believe we have enough time between now and the deadline to get things done. And I expect both teams to come with a proposal before the deadline.
If you believe that and you believe the state of Kansas, then this conversation is coming to an end. If we're talking about this being a 15-minute thing, we're at, what, 4:15, 4:30? There's not a lot of time left in this conversation. Now, when it comes to the Kansas City Royals, you can quote me on this, and I'm not even saying this from a place of being sourced. I'm saying this because it just doesn't sound logical to me. It does not make any sense for the Royals to be out by the Legends. None. It doesn't solve any of their problems. It just changes their problem. It's the same problem they have now. You guys don't like going to Royals games during the week. You don't. You don't go on Mondays. You don't go on Tuesdays. You don't go on Wednesdays. You go for special days and the weekend, and that's okay. That problem does not solve itself with them going out to the Legends. You will then be on 135th, or where you live, Rob. You're going to be like, no, I'll stay at home. I'll go out there this weekend. They got the Dodgers coming in this weekend. I'm not too interested in watching them play the Rays on Tuesday. That dollar hot dog is not enough to get me to go out there. They'll get 21,000 people out there on Tuesday, and they'll get 32,000 people out there on a Friday, regardless of where it is, because we are a community that goes to baseball games on the weekend. They are hoping that if it's downtown and it's more centrally located, that they'll have enough of a group of people that on a Monday, on a Tuesday, will just say, hey, why don't we maybe take a late lunch or on a day game? Why don't we go out to Kauffman Stadium? It's right down the street from where I work. I can take the streetcar. I can ride the streetcar to the stadium, and then I can just catch the game and then go home. or maybe I'll hang around after work, catch a bite to eat, and then we'll just go to the game. Downtown could solve some of their attendance problems during the week. Going to the Legends just simply moves it from the Missouri side to the Kansas side. So you'll just have a lot of people not going to a shiny new stadium that once the newness of it wears off on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you have the same issues that you had back at the old venue. I just don't think the Legends really serves much of a purpose. In fact, I think the Legends are a worse idea than the 119th and all. And I don't love that idea either. The best place for the Royals is in downtown Kansas City. If you believe the mayor of Kansas City, some of you do, some of you don't, then the city has said, we have come up with a way to pay for this, that we don't need to take this to a public vote. I also agree with this. I don't think the Royals would win a public vote. I think if they put it back on there, I think you guys would tell the Royals to figure it out themselves. You pay for your own stadium. I don't think you would tell Clark that. You got no problem telling John Sherman, no. You do it just about every night. So this is a very interesting report. Take what you want from it. Believe it. Don't believe it. But the amount of rumors and sourcing and reporting, if you believe the state of Kansas is coming to an end, we have 1 week left of this. Now, I don't believe it. I think that Kansas will very happily move their deadline to accommodate the National Football League, but they've been pretty steadfast. Hey, we're offering you guys 70% of a new stadium, and we got to drag our feet to see if you guys want to accept this. No, take what offer you have. So we'll see if Kansas is serious, or we'll see if this hard deadline spurs some real concrete news. Not rumors, not radio reports. I mean actual news and information. Both of these teams, for the most part, have been very quiet and played this behind the scenes. Maybe a little bit too quiet to where the public is just saying, at this point, we don't even care. Just tell us where the stadium is going to be, how much we got to pay for it, and then we'll move on from it. I am hopeful, and I imagine a lot of you are also very hopeful, that this conversation is coming to an end. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about Jack Caglione, who might have made the Royals Defensive Play of the Year. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rob, let's finish this conversation, and then we'll talk about the catch from Jack Caglione. Someone sent in a text that says, "CDOT, I'm convinced that you've never been out to the Legends. There's just so much out there. In fact, I was just at the Legends on Saturday and went to the Tacos and Tequila Festival." I think the Royals' biggest issue is there is not a built-in walk-up because of where it is. If you are going out to the stadiums, you are going out there with intention. You don't just randomly happen to be over there. Like, I understand there's not a lot over there, but like, if you're going to the game, you're kind of just going to the game. I think that the problem for the Royals on a Tuesday would just be the exact same, that you would just move the problem from one part of town to then move it to the other part. Now, Rob, maybe I'm wrong about the Legends, and I know they got the casino out there and they got some other stuff, but I also think that we just live in a time where most of the things that the Legends has, other parts of the city just have. That's not that much different than Zona Rosa. It's not that much different than where you live over on 135th and Metcalf. Like, there's just so many of those pockets. So I'm just not really sure if on a Tuesday, the person like you, Rob, that currently lives, what do you live, 20 minutes from the stadium? Now you are going to live a different 20 minutes from the stadium. I don't know if there being a Hooters over there is enough of a reason to get you go to the Tuesday game against the Cincinnati Reds. I think it would kind of be the same, where I think the hope for the Royals is, hey, there's enough of an infrastructure in downtown and people usually go downtown and enough people already work there that it'd be enough of a benefit for people to either stay and hang around or want to come down here. That's where I think they would have a little bit of a difference. I just think what would happen if the Royals move out to the Legends is, sure, when the stadium is new, people want to go out there, they want to see it, they want to interact with it. I don't know if you're looking at 3, 4, 5 years down the line. I don't know if the I don't know if putting a baseball stadium at the Legends is enough to get the Royals from where they currently are, which is pretty consistently 24th or lower in attendance. I don't know if moving the stadium out there gets them to 11th in attendance. Well, I'm not saying that moving the stadium downtown does, but I do think it gives them a little bit more of a chance of getting close to league average, which historically the Royals just normally don't get to league average when we're talking about attendance numbers.
If the Royals were to move out to Legends, and there's a lot of ifs in this, but if they were, the only chance of an improved walk-up is if the stadium going out there makes the area add more and more cooler stuff. Because the Speedway out there has now led to Sporting and Legends as we know it. And, you know, the casino. If the Royals move out there and more stuff goes out there and you have a ballpark village and you have more hotel, but you would have to hope if you're the Royals and you're doing this plan that you putting the ballpark out there spurs more economic development, because as it currently sits, yeah, the Legends is cool, but I don't go to the Legends to shop. Do you know why? Everything at the Legends is at Town Center. Town Center is near my house. Zona Rosa for the Northlanders, like the Plaza for like all those places. You usually have the same shops, restaurants, experiences. They're, you know, a little bit different each place, but they're largely the same. So you would hope if you're the Royals, we're going out here and it will create more and more development to enhance the area. But you're right. As it currently sits, it's not a great destination.
Yeah, and that's why I just wonder, if some of this just might be, I live on the Missouri side. Like, I don't usually spend a lot of my time hanging out at the Legends. And maybe you do, but the point that you just made, you normally make the trip to Town Center. Like, I just think there are so many different pockets in the city where if you are looking for what the Legends has to offer, there is usually just a lot closer alternative to it. That for the most part, the only time I'm going out there to the Legends, I'm going out there because of Sporting Kansas City, or I need to go to Nebraska Furniture Mart. Like, that is the only thing that really gets me out there. That Nike outlet, the deals aren't enough to get me to go out to the Nike outlet out there. It's just not enough. This is not enough to get me to go out there. Maybe that's why you go out there. The shopping isn't great enough to get me to go out to the Legends. I don't need to go to the movie theater out there. I'm going to pass 5 movie theaters on the way before I get out here. So the Legends just isn't a part of town that I really spend a lot of time in. Maybe you guys do spend a lot of time there. I also live in downtown, so it's just kind of right there. Like, I live a block from the streetcar line. Hop on the streetcar, go to the game. And I think that's kind of what they are trying to push for, is that people usually and are used to kind of coming downtown to congregate, where I'm not really sure if they feel that same way about the Legends. Now, I think it's a lot different for the Chiefs. I think what the Chiefs need is space and highway access. And that is absolutely what the Legends provide. I don't think that's what the Royals need as much, and I don't know if the Legends really fixes a lot of their weekly problems.
I don't think it solves any problems at all for the Royals. Again, unless, you know, they build the new K out there, and then all of a sudden a bunch of other stuff pops up around it, which is possible, especially how the Legends was born the first time. Like, but as it currently sits, yes. The Chiefs, to me, what's interesting about this whole Starbonds conversation and where the stadium's going to go, I feel like the Chiefs need to have the Royals answer first, because what the Chiefs need, as you just said, is space. And right now, until the Royals have a destination, there isn't really space available. Yeah, you can renovate Arrowhead, but you'll still want old Kauffman for more space. If you do go out to Legends in KCK, you get ample space. I think the Chiefs need clarity from the Royals ahead of anyone else, because they just need land. It's a land grab for the Chiefs. The Royals are looking for an area.
I want to play this audio for you guys. I would say that this was the highlight of the weekend. Jack Caglione had a very athletic play in the outfield against the Padres.
And a swing and a ball well hit deep to right field. Caglione back. Caglione leaps. And he made the catch up against the fence. Jack Caglione takes an extra base hit away from Merrill. The rookie right fielder, still learning the position, makes a great play right in front of the fence.
In a lot of ways, this past weekend felt like new weekend, same issues. I know on the text line, you guys are going to tell me about Angel Zerpa and the bullpen and manager Q made the wrong decision, and you might be right. If you score 2 or 1 run in a baseball game and do so as frequently as the Royals, you just don't give yourself a lot of margin for error. I've been making this point all season. it's really difficult to beat other NFL teams 13-10 every single week. Eventually, a holding call takes a touchdown off a board. Eventually, your quarterback throws an interception. You are just not giving yourself a lot of different ways and different chances to win if you're going to score 13 points consistently. The Royals scored three runs this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. They lost both of those games. But the positive, what we should be focused in on is, I know that Jack Caglione offensively is maybe not having the impact that a lot of people thought. I think it's important to note that he is 22 years old and he was just playing college baseball last year. And we saw what he was doing in the minor leagues. Like, I don't know if at this point going back down to AAA is going to solve some of that. Like, some of it is just kind of trial by fire. And you got to let Jack Caglione learn how to swim at this point. So I'm not necessarily worried about the batting average or the on-base percentage. You will get enough opportunities, enough ABs to figure those things out. And I think he is enough of a talented player that he'll be able to do this. What I am impressed by is that's a really, really athletic play. And I think it's important to note that Jack Caglione doesn't have a lot of experience in the outfield. He didn't play outfield at all in college. Imagine that. He didn't play outfield at all. The Royals are now trying on the fly to teach him something new. Can you imagine trying to learn something new at this level? You got minimal training in the minor leagues. You just weren't down there long enough. We're not talking about a guy that was in the minor leagues for 2 years that has been playing right field every day. No, you started playing right field in 2025, and now they have you playing right field in Petco Park and in Kauffman Stadium. So yes, at times it's going to be a little bit clunky. At times it's going to be a little bit awkward, but you can clearly see the athleticism is there. We're talking about a 6'6 human being. Moving, running, jumping, making great plays, dynamic plays in the outfield. Some of the things that Jack Caglione needs to learn, you can only learn through experience and just more reps. You just learn by doing it more and getting more opportunities and having more successes and also more failures. We've seen him misplay some balls and have some misreads, but that's just going to happen when you're new at doing something. So I think the thing you should be most excited about this weekend, what should kind of make you feel good about this weekend, is that catch and what I think it can potentially mean and the Royals potentially having the versatility to decide what they want Jack to do. Is he going to play right field for us? Can he play first base for us? Is he going to be our designated hitter? I think as an organization, they are trying to figure all of those things out. But having that versatility and him learning right field and him learning the outfield is certainly the best case scenario for the Royals. So I know it's a disappointing outcome, especially after the sweep against the Texas Rangers. Certainly hoping to win a series against the San Diego Padres, and you would have been at 500 coming back to Kansas City if you had done that. But water under the bridge now at this point. You can't worry about that. You're two games under 500. You got a homestand coming up this week. Let's see if the Royals can go on a little bit of a run, continue to get hot, and let's see if they can get back over 500.
Part of the play that was exciting to me, other than the play and the fact that at the time saved what could have been a game-leading run before the Royals, you know, spit it up in the ninth, is I remember when Cags first came up. Vern was saying it. We had people in the show talking about it. Be alert. He's going to be subbed out defensively at the end of games. He's just not good enough yet. It's been 16 games, and in a tie game in the bottom of the eighth, they kept him in there. They said, yeah, we have John Rave on the bench, who's a better defender. Yeah, we have other players on the bench who are better defenders, but we are going to trust you in this big moment to stay out there, and he rewarded that trust. That's the big thing for me, is because I was prepared for him to be a defensive replacement for the first 50 games of his baseball career, and we're 16 in, and the team is saying, hey, your bat is so valuable, or the fear of your bat is so valuable that we will keep you in the field, and he's now rewarding that trust. That's the big thing for me. And I was at his first game, the first home game, I believe is a better way to say it. You were there too. He was a butcher that day in right field. It was a bloop-a-palooza right in front of him.
He was real bad.
It was real bad. And 15 games later, under that, because it was the first home game, 10 games later, he's making highlight catches, and you see why people in the minors and Rusty Kuntz and all these people are saying he'll pick it up fast, because he's a freak show athlete to pick it up at this level this quick.
Yeah, and I think for this season, I think we are going to have the consistent fight about their offense and their ability to figure out. I mean, Thursday is the halfway point of the baseball season. It's the halfway point. We've been playing baseball for a long time now. We've been playing baseball for 3 months now. We have had the same problems, the same frustrations with the Royals offense. I'm just not sure if it's going to be fixed at any point this season. And it sounds weird to say for a team that is technically still in it, for a team that if they could win 7 of their next 9, they're right back in the wild card picture. It does feel in some ways this season has shifted the focus. And the focus is about Jack Caglione and his development and getting him ready for next year, when the hope and certainly the expectation is going to be, go spend money and go get another bat. Go make a trade and go get another bat. I'm not talking about Jonathan India to hit clean or to hit leadoff for you guys. I'm talking about finding somebody that could hit fourth or fifth for you. Give Bobby a little bit of protection. Give Vinny a little bit of protection. Jack Caglione, he now has 250, 300 ABs, and now he's ready to take that next step. I do think in some ways the focus of this season has certainly shifted away from the possibility of them winning their division. That is now turning into, can the Royals get back over 500 and give themselves potentially a chance when it comes to getting back into the wild card conversation, and also developing Jack Caglione and setting him up for a foundation to have a really big sophomore year.
For those of you that follow us on social media, we do like the little Instagram Royal Decree every Monday. I said it there and I'll say it here. This next however long between now and July 7th, I don't know how many games it is, I know they have an off day today, might be the most defining stretch of Royals baseball this season. They just got done with a series against the Padres and Rangers, who are two teams that are above 500 when they faced them. They're 4-2. It's not the way you would have liked to go 4-2. And yeah, you'd like to be 5-1 out of that road trip, but you're 4-2. You now have the Rays, who hold the first wild card spot. You have the best team in baseball in the Dodgers. You then have the Mariners, who are also in the wild card contention. And then you have the D-backs, who in the NL are in wild card contention. It'll be July 7th. The holiday will be over, everyone's fireworks will be done, and you'll look up and the Royals will be facing the really bad Pittsburgh Pirates. And if the Royals are in and around 500, like they are right now, a game or two under, maybe a game or two better, or they just, you know, maintain, you will probably convince yourself that they should be buyers, and they should be buyers, because they'll be a game and a half, 2.5 games back. But if this stretch against really good baseball teams sinks them, on July 7th, I'm going to be saying it's sell time, because I don't care the Pirates are coming in town on the 7th. What would have happened in the past ends the season. So 4-2 so far, and you got 4 series left. Win a Rays series, win a Dodgers series, or go 4-2 somehow in those 2 series. And now you look up and you're heading to Seattle right before the 4th of July, and you feel like, okay, now you got some momentum. But this is the defining moment. There's no more White Sox in the next couple weeks. It's real teams, and if you are a real contender, you will beat those real teams.
We are officially reaching what people would call the slow period in sports. We just saw the college baseball season end. We'll actually get to that coming up in a little bit. The NBA season has come to a close. The hockey season has come to a close. We have concluded, 3 of the 4 golf majors. Right now, we are reaching a little bit of a slow period until football gets things back going. Yesterday, we saw the conclusion of the NBA season. Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are the new NBA champions. Here is Brian Windhorst on the injury that we saw last night to Tyrese Halliburton and also Oklahoma City winning the championship.
I'm going to have a complicated memory of tonight. This is an organic championship for the Thunder. They built this team from scratch. They were down to nothing. They drafted these guys. They developed these guys. Nobody forced their way here via trade. Nobody, you know, they didn't win the lottery. They did this through grit and hard work. They were great from the first moment, the day of the season. They earned this thing all the way through. They are a pure champion doing it for the first time. Even if they win 2 or 3 more championships with this group, nothing will feel as pure as this. And yet, I feel sick. And I'm not recovered from seeing the slow motion of his calf. And even if they won the game in the third quarter with the classic Thunder run.
That's what they do.
With turnovers and the flurry and everything. But as the fourth quarter is happening and I'm watching the Thunder go through this dry spell, and the Pacers get the lead, I think, to 9 or whatever.
10.
10. I'm thinking if they had Halliburton, that this is going to go down to it.
I obviously want to break down the game at some point, and we will. I watched every dribble of Game 7. I imagine that many of you did as well. I just saw the ratings for it. Game 7 of the NBA Finals drew 16.9 million viewers after it did not top 10 million viewers in the first five games. In fact, it was the most watched NBA Finals game in the last 6 years. So a great night for the NBA. People just love games that have urgency. And when you create the urgency of a Game 7 like you had in the NBA Finals, it is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. And obviously Game 7 did, and it lived up to the billing, I would say, for the first 35 minutes or so. And then OKC was just a little bit too much. I am heartbroken by the fact that I hate the way that the story ended for Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton has had a magical postseason at almost every single round, knocking off the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were the best team in the NBA regular season, in the Eastern Conference Finals when everybody was cheering for the Knicks and everybody who was anybody in New York City was in attendance in Game 1. Tyrese Halliburton hits the shot of the NBA postseason and then does the Reggie Miller celebration. Doesn't realize that, hey, wait, this game's actually going to overtime, and then backs it up in OT in Game 1 of the NBA Finals on the road, a game in which no one picked Indiana to win. There was not a single soul that picked Indiana to go on the road and steal Game 1. He hits a game-winning shot in Game 7. He hits three threes in the first 5 minutes of the game. Tyrese Halliburton, who popped his Achilles in quarter one, still hit the most amount of threes in Game 1, even though he only played, what, 7 minutes in the game? I don't know what would have happened, and maybe the Thunder end up winning the game. And I'm certainly not putting an asterisk by it. Sports happen. You know the risk. You went out there, you played, you got injured. It's highly unfortunate, but I'm not putting an asterisk in any way by the championship. Oklahoma City was the best team in the regular season. They won the NBA championship. There it goes. But man, just the heartbreaking feeling of knowing that Tyrese Halliburton was dealing with this injury, knowing that the injury that ultimately ended up happening was the worst case scenario for him. He then plays, I think he played pretty well in Game 6 and made the play so far of the series with the steal and then the pass down the court to Pascal Siakam and the big dunk, that you will see that highlight montage a part of the NBA Finals for the next 50 years. The fact that he started off Game 7 so well, and then you can see it. Like, we've seen enough of these injuries, and it is still incredibly painful to watch. At this point, you don't even got to be a doctor. We know what a popped Achilles looks like. We got these cameras zoomed in so much on supersonic HD that you can see it, to see it, to instantly see his reaction when he goes down to the ground. And I don't even think that Tyrese is reacting that way because of the pain. I think he's reacting that way because he knows it's over. You can see his face as he's looking at his teammate and read his mouth. He's saying, I did it, I did it, I did it. And the disappointment. He's leaving the court with his head down. That's not the way the Tyrese Halliburton story was going to end. Not the way that he's handled this postseason. Not the journey that he just took us on with the Indiana Pacers. They were the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they got to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I was torn up about it. Devastated. Hurt. I don't know what would have happened. Maybe the Pacers would have won. Maybe the Pacers would have lost anyway, and maybe it wouldn't have mattered. But that's not the way that that story was supposed to end, with Tyrese Halliburton being carried off the court with a towel over his head. That's not the way that the NBA season was supposed to end. Again, I'm not putting an asterisk by anything that the Thunder did. They earned it. They did it on the court. They were the best team in the NBA regular season. They're the best team in the postseason. They earned their championship. I was just heartbroken to see, A, for us, I was heartbroken that we didn't get to see the heavyweight fight that we all tuned in to see, and then heartbroken for a player who left everything out there on the floor and not only couldn't finish out Game 7, but is also going to miss a substantial amount of time in next year's NBA season.
Yeah, as a viewer, you got robbed. I agree with you. I'm not taking anything away from Oklahoma City. I think they were the better team this series, and they had the singular best player on the court, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But, man, it just feels like you were geared up for something fun. It was 16-16. I know it's early in the game. You're fired up. It's going to be fantastic. And it just, it gets taken from you. And Brian Windhorst said it perfectly. As the Pacers make a run, you felt like it doesn't matter. That they don't have the horses anymore to run past the Thunder.
I actually disagree just a little bit here, and we can get to this game point. I thought that Rick Carlisle completely mismanaged the third quarter. There was a time there where they only had one player on the floor that could score, and it was TJ McConnell. And TJ McConnell did everything to keep you in the game. Why is Pascal Siakam out for such a large stretch? Like, once the Tyrese Halliburton injury happens, you know who's not coming off the floor? Pascal Siakam. We need you to play 48 minutes tonight. I don't know what you need to do. Go get yourself a Gatorade. Go get yourself something. You cannot leave the floor. And there was that stretch there where they couldn't get anything going offensively other than TJ McConnell. And in my opinion, that's where the game was lost. The game was lost where they just couldn't score. You add the fact that they had 8 turnovers in the third quarter. By the time you look up, you're down 15 heading into the fourth. And that's where you mentioned the firepower. You just then didn't have enough firepower to be able to come back on the road against the best team in the NBA. So congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have won the championship. And now a lot of people are throwing out the, is this a potential dynasty? They certainly have the pieces either in the short term and the long term. They got the best player in the league, Jalen Williams. We've seen his game develop. Chet Holmgren is still incredibly young. They've got all the first-round draft picks over the next couple of seasons. This OKC team, maybe they don't win 5 or 6 of these things, but they're certainly going to be in the mix for years to come. Coming up, Rob, I want to play a little bit of a game here. I'll explain the rules. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Hersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we will get back to the Kansas City Royals. The Royals lost a weekend series against the Padres, but they did go 4-2 this week on the road. They are back tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium. They have a series against the Rays. They also welcome the Los Angeles Dodgers into town. If you look at the probable pitchers, Shohei should pitch in Kansas City. He pitched on Sunday, so the Dodgers have an off day as well today. You look at the way that it kind of lines up, Rob, you would think either Friday or Saturday Shohei would pitch, but we don't know yet. We obviously got to see how the week plays itself out, but certainly hopeful that Shohei Ohtani will pitch. And the Royals also host the Pirates coming up in a couple of weeks, certainly hoping that Paul Skenes, you get his turn in the rotation at Kauffman Stadium as well. Rob, I want to play a simple game. Now, I came up with this name. I don't know if it's a good name or not. I'm calling it This, That, and the Third. This is why. I don't know if you noticed or not, because you were celebrating your anniversary this weekend and not focused and not dedicated to your craft like I was. I was watching everything. I'm watching the NBA playoffs. I'm watching bass fishing. I'm watching the College Baseball World Series as LSU won the Natty.
This could be 2 in the game. Dickinson, Milam, and that's it. Is title town again as the boys bring the 8th World Series title back to the Bayou.
So congratulations to LSU for winning the national championship. If you were wondering, so Rocco's, there's a bar in Omaha, Nebraska. LSU this weekend, they accounted for 52,390 Jell-O shots, which is short of their own record that they got back in 2023 when they got 68,000 Jell-O shots. So this is the game that I want to play. You are a through and through KU fan. You are born and raised in Kansas. You went to a Kansas high school. You told me that you were a sophomore and knew, oh, I'm going to Kansas. You are through and through KU. For the basis of this game, I need you to drop your team affiliation. You can no longer cheer for KU. I'm going to give you a handful of colleges, and tomorrow you have to decide if you are going to cheer for this, that, or the third university. You got some music for me? We're going to start with Texas, Ohio State, or LSU. Tomorrow you have to relinquish all your Kansas athletic rights. Are you going to be a Texas fan or Ohio State fan or an LSU fan?
Ooh. I'm going to say Texas because I like Austin the best of all those towns. I feel icky liking any of them, but...
You love Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas is special. Austin, Texas is a vibe. Austin, Texas is a place where I would like to go watch a college football game. Don't get me wrong. Going down to the Bayou would be great. I would love a Saturday night in Death Valley, but I'd have to put up with the basketball program too, and that's a disaster. So, at Ohio State, pass on Ohio State, the Ohio State. So I'm going to say Texas, and my love of Austin really is channeled here to pick them.
You know what? I think I would pick LSU for this reason. This is why. It's not that far from New Orleans, which just seems like, you know, a nice, easy drive. They have much more of a football culture. People talk about night games at Baton Rouge. No one talks about night games at Texas. That's just not really a thing. They're really good at all the other sports. So if you easily just want to be somebody who in the summer, you just randomly start cheering for gymnastics, you can do that. You can just randomly start cheering for women's basketball. You can randomly start cheering for college baseball. There's like a certain pride. And then every once in a while, they kind of have a decent basketball team. I mean, they're not a basketball powerhouse by any means, but they're always, you know, interesting in basketball. Or they hire Will Wade, or they get this recruit or something. I think I would pick LSU out of them. I mean, I would probably cheer for Ohio State's football team out of all of them, but I don't know if Ohio State's really good at anything else other than football. And that's a really important thing to be good at. I just think I'd pick LSU if I had to start over. All right. Oklahoma, Clemson, or Florida? Which one of those teams tomorrow are you going to be a fan of?
Clemson. Most success recently. So you get the, what have you done for me lately? You're still a team that's been to the college football playoff. I don't like their coach. Their basketball program is good. It's not great, but it's good. I think South Carolina is more fun than Oklahoma. So I'm going to lean Clemson, but it's between Clemson and Florida because being an Oklahoma fan is like back in my day. Do you know that they haven't won a conference title since 03? Like it just, or oh, excuse me, 02? Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah, cheering for Oklahoma doesn't really sound like it's that fun. I mean, it'd be fun if that's where you're from, but I don't want to cheer for Oklahoma. I think I would pick Florida out of this grouping. They're usually relevant in football. They've had some obviously peak years. They just won the national championship. It feels like there's enough there that being a Florida fan would be kind of cool. You also have like the Gator Chomp that you can do. You put guys into the league. I mean, I'm not really wild about any of these three. They all just seem to have like very clear pluses and minuses. But yeah, I think I would cheer for Florida out of this group. All right. Last one here. Auburn, Penn State, or USC?
Do you know, I think USC is last in this list. USC is not the USC we grew up watching as kids.
No, not at all.
This is not your father's USC. So I think they're last. I think the answer is Penn State. I think it's Penn State by
you like college basketball too much to be a Penn State fan.
But like,
you're telling me that you're willing to adopt a school that you basically have to give up love of college basketball? No chance you would do that.
Yeah, I mean, their football program's the best of the three, though.
No, I agree with that. What I'm saying is they don't have anything else. That's all you have is, I mean, I guess that's kind of what you already have right now.
I mean, that's what my school is now. It's just I've changed the sports. But like Auburn is little brother in football. You're not just okay. You are thumped yearly by your rival.
I think USC is the best team out of these to cheer for. I think they're the best team. Auburn's probably the most well-rounded athletic department. But USC, there's like so much history and tied up into it. I love their uniforms. There's always the, hey, this is going to be the year. They're in the Big Ten, so you play in a lot of big games. Yeah, I think I would pick USC if you were like asking me from the beginning, which team would I be a fan of? Saying you're a USC fan just seems like it's a really cool thing to say. So yeah, I'm picking USC out of that grouping. I just don't believe you, college basketball man. You're picking a school that has no college basketball history? No chance. College basketball is your favorite sport? No chance. After soccer. It's soccer one, college basketball two for you. I don't think you're picking Penn State. That's my game, this, that, or the third. Congratulations to LSU for winning the championship and also having 52,000 Jell-O shots. That's a lot of Jell-O shots. Just a whole lot of them that place has sold. Whoever came up with that idea, marketing genius. Marketing genius they came up with. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, Hall of Fame voice of the Royals. We had his thoughts on this past weekend in San Diego. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.